you would now take your scriptures and turn to Habakkuk in chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. We're picking up where we left off last Lord's Day from verse 4, where the Lord had spoken to Habakkuk and he said, "Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." We're going to continue from there. We'll go through from verse 5 through verse 20. God's people, let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you speak to us, even through these of your prophets in the Old Testament, that teach us many things. They teach us your righteousness. They teach us who you are, that you are a God who does not change. Or even your Son, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're thankful that these judgments pronounced here, that you do not pronounce them upon your people, but you pronounce them upon the wicked. Any here who do not know you, Father, may they not keep in their sins and come under these judgments, but rather that they would come unto the Lord and find the victory in Christ alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 5. These are God's words. "Indeed, because he transgressed by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death, and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations, and heaps up for himself all peoples. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, 'Woe to him who increases what is not his. How long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you, and you will become their booty? Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of beasts which made them afraid, because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols. Woe to him who says to wood, 'Awake,' to silent stone, 'Arise, it shall teach.' Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Those are God's words. Remember, the Babylonians are coming to be the Lord's instrument of judgment upon Judah for their idolatry and constant rebellion against the Lord. Not only their idolatry and rebellion as a nation, but by the wicked kings and governors of that nation, but also the church, that is the people as they worshipped and their blasphemy and their offering strange fires there at the temple. Babylon is coming in judgment to Judah. Chapter 2, the vision from the Lord to be written on tablets. Verse 4, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by faith, beloved. We heard, as we looked at a little bit of that doctrine of justification that we have previously in Romans, faith in Christ, faith in the righteousness of Christ. We must live by faith. Faith in Christ. But look at the proud. His soul is not upright in him. And this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the promises of the judgment that will come in five woes that are promised here that come upon the proud in the rest of this chapter. The proud being Babylon. They will come. And so you remember, Habakkuk was wondering at the end of chapter 1, yes, there is judgment coming. The Lord has said Babylon's going to bring that judgment. And then Habakkuk was like, what? How could you use such wicked people to judge your covenant people? Yes, the covenant people are in sin, but how can you use a wicked nation to do this? Well, here is the Lord's answer. He says that Babylon will be judged themselves. They will come, they will judge, but they're not going to be guiltless. They are guilty of such atrocities of coming against the Lord's people. These are God's people, and they come against them just as the wicked come against the church today. And all who do so will be judged greatly before the Lord. In Babylon, they will, when they win, when they beat Judah, when they destroy Jerusalem and the temple, they will exalt in their own false gods. We heard that in the first chapter. And when you have, as we think of this, when we have successes, beloved, do you praise the Lord? Or do you give glory to Him? Or do you praise yourself? Or the things that you've used, or the tools, or the other people that have brought good things to you? The just live by faith. Everyone else is proud and unrighteous. Of the proud, the Lord promises the prophet and all his children judgment. The first point this evening is judgment promise. There are a number of sub-points to this. But the first point is judgment promised. This passage, as we've heard, it has those five woes. It promises five woes. Verse 5, the Lord continues talking about the proud men. Specifically, He's speaking of the Chaldeans who are led by a proud king, a proud man, Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 5, indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man. And he does not stay at home because he enlarges his desire as hell. And he's like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. So the proud man is here compared to a drunkard, losing himself in intoxication of himself. He wanders. And he does those things that the wicked do as he's propped up by his own self-opinion. The reality of the proud is that he does not know himself at all. We see many times in the Proverbs the proud are compared to the drunkard. And the promise to each of them is like Isaiah 28 verse 3. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. The beloved drunkards think they are wise. You know, when, if you've ever met a drunk person, they think they're fairly wise. They know everything. And they look more like a fool, of course. And so that's what the picture he's trying to give us, because it's very easy to understand this in a drunkard person. But the proud person is like that. They're stirring up strife, just like the proud man, the drunkard is. Proverbs 28 says. The drunkard is just like the proud man, is full of himself, thinks that nothing bad can happen to him. He's too full of himself even to hear good counsel. The proud often sit in the seat of scorners and scoffers, and their punishment is the same as the drunkard. The proud and drunkard are rewarded with being brought low and failure. Proverbs 15 says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. 1 Corinthians 6 says, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. Of such, nothing satisfies. Wine and strong drink are not enough for the proud. Verse 5, he enlarges his desire. Right, just like the person who gets drunk on wine and strong drink, as the scriptures talk about, it's never enough. They always have to have more and more. And when the buzz or whatever, as we call it today, the buzz wears off, they have to have more alcohol to get that back. Just the same person, same as the person who's on drugs and other things that we could think of surrounding drugs. But the proud is just like that. The proud, it says he enlarges his desire. It says he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death. Notice those words, as and like. It's a simile. Similes. The proud enlarges his desire just like hell and just like death. Hell and death, if we think of hell and we think of death, they're never satisfied. Death is not satisfied, but with all. Death needs all. And we'll claim all. Hell desires all the ungodly of the earth. The pit is dug for them. And death swallows all and won't be satisfied until all die. Such desire the proud person has. Never satisfied. Does that characterize you? A person who is never satisfied. Are you someone who never feels satisfied? Always wanting more. More things. More honor. More money. Then you are the proud man, the prideful are judged, we see. The just, on the other hand, those who are satisfied and satisfied alone in Christ by faith. This particular proud man, Nebuchadnezzar, gathers to himself all nations. He's like, as he takes Babylon out, he's gathering all these nations. And he's destroying them. He's taking all the peoples in exile and taking them, making them slaves, building up his nation, as we'll see in a few moments. But he can't be enough. It's just like Alexander the Great, or it's just like, you know, many other nations and many other kings have done. The Roman Empire, the same. They're never satisfied. They're not satisfied. Those rulers are not satisfied until they rule over all. Seems like our nation, sometimes when they've gone out to war in the Middle East or wherever, they're trying to make these nations feed us, right? Give us oil or give us whatever it is. And not satisfied until he rules over all. To him and to the Babylonians who will come and destroy Judah for their sin, he's promising here, you will be judged, or they will be judged. We see in the proud a lack of contentment, a covetousness. Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden in the same sin, that same sin of pride that caused Satan to fall. A way to be like God. That all the fruit given by the Lord in the garden was not enough. Needed more. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They coveted that in their pride. The forbidden fruit. The proud, beloved, have, one minister says, an inordinate love of that which we have, an inordinate desire for more, and an inordinate use of all. And the punishment is the terror of the Lord. So then verses 6 through 8, we see the first woe. The first subpoint. Judgment is promised to those who increase their debts. To those who increase their debts. And the word pledges, if you have that in your translation, or thick clay, you hear, is speaking of debts. Will not all these, it says, take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his, how long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken to oppress you, and you will become their booty? Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. So verse 6, will not all who have been troubled by the king of Babylon, will they not all, those other nations, will they not all take up this proverb against him? Nebuchadnezzar should be laughed at, despised by all, loaded up with all contempt and his abuse of all those neighboring nations around him that he's trying to take over and has destroyed many and came in and destroyed and abused them. They shall be the instruments of his disgrace. They're going to speak the proverb like as it speaks here and laugh at him and know that judgment is coming. That's what the Lord promises. And they will say, woe. Woe to him who increases what is not his. How long? That word woe, we heard it in Matthew 23. The word woe is the death wail, the death cry. When someone would die, they would cry out, woe, or woe is me. An ultimate fulfillment of these woes in Revelation 18, where Babylon being the seat of the Antichrist, the papacy sinks down into destruction. Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Just as it was prophesied in Daniel. So here, death and destruction is coming. And so 5 times we hear that cry, woe, in reference to Babylon, in reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Woe to him who increases what is not his. Death, judgment is what comes upon the proud, is what comes upon those who think they can gather in happiness. Here, gathering in, taking in what is not theirs. Right? What is not his, as Nebuchadnezzar. Stealing from others, or to him who loads himself with many pledges, with many debts. It's not theirs. Think of how many people do this today, accruing debt upon debt upon debt. And you may be one of those people. But it's not yours. It's a great sin to accrue debt upon debt upon debt. Such a prideful people. As Americans, we're not satisfied with God, what God has provided, so we have to have something else, and we take that based when it's somebody else's, and it's based in somebody else's money. We have to pay it back. There's debts. And so they're using other people's money to buy something. We're doing this. And they do this with lots of things, right? Beloved, it's not only unwise, it's sinful. And so with debts in mind, listen to verse 7. Will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you? And you will become their booty? Because you have plundered many nations. The Babylonians have plundered many nations. All the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city. And of all who dwell in it. You see, the creditors, the promise that the Lord is using through these who are crying out, woe to them, the Babylonians. The Lord is showing to Habakkuk and to us, the creditors will come and collect the debt. Here the creditors are the many nations that Babylon took over and destroyed under the kingship of Nebuchadnezzar. And the reality is, we look back in Scripture, as we find out that it's the Medes and the Persians who came and took this as the creditor, debt of Babylon on behalf of those nations. Habakkuk obviously doesn't know that, but to those who increase their debts, judgment of woe is coming. To those who live proud lives instead of at the feet of Jesus Christ in humble reliance upon Him, judgment is coming. And here it's promised. Judgment is also secondly promised to the covetous. Very similar, and all these woes kind of fit together. Judgment is promised to the covetous. Verse 9. The second woe. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. So again, woe is proclaim, woe to those who have this desire for wealth and honor which cannot be satisfied. That not only will you take out debts to get it, but you will do, here it says, you will do all sorts of evil to get it. You will sin in so many ways. You'll lie and you'll cheat to get it. To gain something that is not yours. Verse 10, you'll give shameful counsel. You'll cut off many peoples. You'll even sin against your own soul to gain something. Seeking to increase your property is good. That's in keeping with the eighth commandment. Seeking to increase your property is a good thing. But to do it through evil means is evil. It is to hurt, to the hurt of others, and breaking the second greatest commandment. The proud seeks to gain so much. And yet, to gain so much that they cannot be touched. And they think they can't be touched. This is what the rich do of great corporations or the rich do. Even nations like ours do it. We're too powerful. We can do anything we want, no matter the consequence, because you won't do anything because you're too weak to do something to us or to our nation, to the corporation, to the rich person. You're too poor. And we are too rich. Our corporation is too rich, so that if you come after us because of our wrongdoing, we have lawyers, and we'll throw them at you. We'll throw money at you to get your problem with us to stop, to get it to go away. The proud seek such things so that even though they do evil to seek gain in their coveting, they may be delivered from judgment and disaster. But their evil has brought them under guilt and wrath. As it's promised here, we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. But those who do wrong to their neighbor do much greater wrong to their own souls. Those who are proud, who sin and do evil against their neighbor for their own gain, they will say of themselves, what? They'll say, not guilty. Right? Because they want to gain and keep gaining. So they'll say of themselves, well, I'm not guilty. I've done nothing wrong. And if there are no other witnesses, or perhaps they've destroyed all those witnesses because they have the power to do so, or they've silenced all those witnesses because they have the riches to do so, or the power to do so. Verse 11, well, then the stone will cry out from the wall. Then the beam from the timbers will answer. They will testify and prove their guilt. And so to them, woe, death is coming. And if that is what you are like Babylon or like Nebuchadnezzar, like rich corporations, whatever, and you're doing evil to gain something, then the promise here is judgment is coming to the covetous. Judgment is also promised, thirdly, to those who murder and extort for gain. Who murder and extort for gain, verse 12 through 14. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Again, at the very first there, verse 12, seeking to gain, covetous, seeking to gain then by evil through evil. This is what Nebuchadnezzar did. He took exiles from various nations and he built up Babylon. He built Babylon with the blood of his own subjects. He built up Babylon with those whom he oppressed. And he built them by the blood of his neighbors. And in that way he committed murder. He broke the sixth commandment. Many died because of it. Babylon was established in iniquity. All these peoples who labored to build it up, all so what will happen? He says here, the Lord says here, woe. Judgment will happen. The peoples have labored, but only to feed the fire of God's judgment, it says. The nations, these slaves, wearied themselves for Nebuchadnezzar all in vain unto this judgment of the Lord's and destruction to Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. There will come a day that it will be said, fallen is Babylon. And all the images of her gods are shattered on the ground. That day is coming for Habakkuk, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Lord will be known by this judgment throughout all nations, by His perfect and impartial justice and irresistible power. The judgments the Lord executes upon the wicked will make our God known to the ends of the earth. Job 40, verse 11 says, "Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place." And that's the prayer of the saints. Matthew Henry says, "See what good God brings out of the staining and sinking of the earthly glory. He thereby manifests and magnifies His own glory and fills the earth with the knowledge of it as plentiful as the waters cover the sea, which lie deep, spread far, and shall not be dried up until time shall be no more. Such is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ given by the gospel," 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "and such was the knowledge of His glory by the miraculous ruin of Babylon." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness," even out of judgment, "light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So, beloved, we're called to come to the light. We're to come to the light, to come from your pride and from your sin, lest you be judged, as we're hearing here. Come to the light that's found in Christ. Judgment is promised to those who murder and extort for gain. Then fourthly, judgment is promised to promoters of drunkenness and their neighbor's shame. Those who promote drunkenness and those who promote their neighbor's shame. So an example of this is with Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar in Daniel 5. Listen as it says, "Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone." There's Belshazzar pushing his neighbors to drunkenness, which leads to what? It leads to idolatry, or further idolatry. Verse 15, "Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised." Sometimes those of us who are reformed, some of you perhaps who are younger, do this, pressing people to drink more and more. And that's a sin of youth, for sure. But here we see it leads only to sin. It's a great abomination, actually, that deserves judgment, filled with shame instead of glory, filled with sin. Verse 16, "like the uncircumcised Gentiles, you look like the world." That's what happens when we not only get drunk ourselves, but when we push others to drunkenness. We look like the world. What does he say then? Look what he says then. "The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory." He's using that language we used last Lord's Day from the Lord's Supper. The cup of the Lord. Speaking and using here that language of the wine and the, right? It's speaking of drunkenness, but now he says, look at the cup of the Lord. The wine, the cup. And here it's not the cup of blessing that we drink in the Lord's Supper, but this is the cup of wrath. "And of all your sins, beloved, and your pride, your stealing, your evil, your covetousness, turn from your sin and turn to the one who experienced the cup of wrath for you so that you could partake in the cup of blessing." in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross under the wrath, unmitigated wrath of God. Turn from your sin, beloved, or you will end up in the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And just like we read in Daniel 5, so here, drunkenness leading to idolatry. Verse 17, for the violence done to Lebanon will cover you and plunder of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold shall trust in it to make mute idols. And that leads us to the last woe. Judgment is, yes, promised to promoters of drunkenness and their neighbor's shame. And fifthly, it's promised, judgment's promised to idolaters. Judgment is promised to idolaters. So going off what we just read in 17 and 18, verse 19, the last woe to him who says to wood, awake. To silent stone, arise. It shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. Babylon and Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, Babylon and Jeremiah is said to be the land of carved images. And they are insane or crazy with their idols, or mad with their idols. Jeremiah 10 says, thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the Gentiles are dismayed at them, for the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good, inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations, in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. Silver is beaten into plates, and it's brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. The work of the craftsman and the hands of the metalsmith, blue and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skillful men, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure His indignation. And so, beloved, the idols and the images shall teach. Idols and images teach. They are the teacher of lies. They are the teachers of false things. But our God is the true God and the living God, not dead like false gods. Woe to such who commit idolatry. Their end, your end, who commits idolatry, your end, if that is you, is in judgment and death. Judgment is promised, beloved, to the wicked and to the evil and to the proud. But we remember verse 4, the just shall live by faith. And the final thing we see this evening is the different point from judgment promised, and that is verse 20, victory promised. Victory promised. All these evils are happening. Babylon is going to attack and bring down Judah. But Habakkuk, right, the Lord speaking to Habakkuk here. But Habakkuk, the vision is the promise. Judgment and woe is coming to Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, and they will be brought down. Verse 20. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Don't forget that, Habakkuk. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. You see, the Lord, our God, is on the throne. It may seem like He's not. It may seem like that in our day that He's not. It may seem like He is like the false god of the deists. He's just not doing anything. He's not doing anything. Habakkuk didn't understand why the Lord would use the Babylonians to judge Judah. But here's the promise of judgment. And here at the end of the chapter, at the end of the five woes, we find exactly where the Lord is. He's on the throne. And that is where our comfort is. That's where our hope is. He's on the throne. Nothing is past His knowing. Nothing is past His power, His sovereignty. He's ruling over all. He is the rock. And this is what Scripture says in Deuteronomy, "For their rock is not as our rock, beloved. Theirs are dumb idols. Ours is Jehovah. Theirs are dead, have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see, and ears that do not hear. Our God is the living God. He is who He is." Not like false gods who have to be carved and made by man and at the pleasure of man. Our God is in the heavens. So let all the earth keep silence before Him. He will make the world silent before Him. He'll strike idolaters as dumb as their idols. And it is our duty, beloved, to wait patiently on the Lord to save us, to save in His way at His time. As we think of the bigger picture of Habakkuk, the prophet needed to learn the truth of this theologian, William Gurnall. He said, "As God can make a straight line with a crooked stick, be righteous when He uses wicked instruments, so also gracious when He dispenses harsh providences." He is gracious in the judgment of Judah, and He is righteous when He uses Babylon to judge them. Our calling is to look to Christ who sits on the throne, the great wrath swallower. We are to look to Him by faith. And then, let us sit before the Lord, patiently, who rules over all. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. We're thankful for the promises of judgment, not only upon Babylon, but really upon all the wicked, and all the covetous, and all the evildoers, and the proud. Father, we ask that You would bring them down and judge them according to Your word. And yet, Father, we also pray for mercy. We pray for Your grace, not only upon us who have sinned against You in similar ways, and by Your grace You've made us by Your Spirit repent and turn back unto You, which we give You all praise for. But yet, Father, we pray that You would show grace and mercy to those who are still in their sins, who are still evil doers and wicked. Bring them to Christ Your Son, that they would not be swallowed up by wrath, but they would come to Christ who swallows the wrath for them. Father, in all these things, we pray for Your mercy. We pray for Your grace. We also pray that You would comfort us, make us content in what You've given us, and may You bless Your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.